Well, thank you, Sam, very much for your welcome again this morning. And I have really appreciated the meeting this morning and the fact that we've been here and gathered around the Lord's table for a time just to remember him and to listen to others participating and taking part as they have done. And that in itself is very special and very, very enjoyable. So I'm delighted again to be with you for another Lord's Day. And it's good to have spent last Lord's Day and now again today. And I trust in the days to come. Whenever Brother Graham, I'm glad to hear he's going at it again and preaching the word. And our brother, goodness, his name has left me.
Harold
from Ballygeegan will be here next Sunday night as well. That's good news, and it's good to see men keeping on in the work of God. I trust you'll continue to remember us in your prayers. Today, this afternoon, I go back to Milford for another drive-in meeting. We had a really good time last Sunday, and mind you, it was well baptized. Had it not been for the fact that they have one of these great big things that they put out like a tent, I don't know what I would have done, because I was standing in an inch of water before the meeting was over, literally. And but that makes no odds to a drive-in meeting. People come in their cars, you announce a number that they can turn on their radio or in their home, wherever they're listening, and so on. And we had a really special time last Lord's Day afternoon. So I'd value your prayers for that again today. And throughout the course of the week, I like to mention these things for prayer. Tuesday night, I hope to be in Bessbrook, there in that part of the country again, with the Lord's people and ministering the word. And then next Lord's Day, the travels expand a little. I hope to be in Ballina, if ever you heard of it. Well, it's away down in the south. It's about a four-hour journey, down into the south, God willing, next Lord's Day. There's a couple down there called Andy and Bassy McCausland. Sadly, about a year ago, Andy passed away and was taken home, but Bassy is a Spanish girl, and she's carrying on down there and keeping the door open. It was a disused Methodist church in that town, and Andy was a missionary to Spain for many, many years, and took ill and had to come home for serious surgery. Never was able to go back again. While he was out there, he had married this lady in that part of the world, and now she's here carrying on a work. And they got hold of this disused Methodist church in that area, got it open and got going, and they have a fine work going there. Going very well, way down in Ballina. And I didn't actually know until this week that there's two Ballinas, as if one wasn't hard enough to find. There's two of them, and it'll be quite a travel. But nevertheless, the Lord will be with us, and we'll have with them, I trust, a very special time again. Distance is a remarkable thing. I was talking to a cousin of mine in Canada yesterday, and she was telling me that she's going to a part of America, goodness, I can't remember the name of it, where she's going to spend 3 weeks down there, her and her husband. I said, how are you getting there, Patricia? Well, she says, we're driving. I says, what? She said, we're driving down in the car. And I said, how far is it? And I've got a phone out there in the car, and if you doubt this, I can show you it. 2,950 miles. Is the distance they're driving. And they think nothing of it. Nothing at all of it in that part of the world. They talk about hours instead of miles and what have you. Imagine setting, boy, you need a holiday. Well, that would be over, wouldn't you? 2,950 miles. And if I had done that to go for a holiday, I'd be dreading the journey back. You need another one. Whenever that would, but that is serious. However, that's another issue. Now, let's read a verse or two, friends, from 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy and reading at the second chapter. Now run your eye down this chapter until verse number 14, and we'll read on from there right down to the end of verse number 21, please. Of these things put them in remembrance. Now the them there are believers, of course, and the things are what he's been mentioning in the earlier part of the chapter. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The term rightly dividing, it means to set in straight lines the word of truth. Don't get things mixed and muddled. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word shall eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth true, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now that's all I want to read today. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his inspired word. I mentioned to you in the meeting last Lord's Day morning, friends, that in recent days I've been thinking quite a lot about the ability of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a subject, of course, which could be rolled over into the Old Testament, but in the main, you will find it revealed in the New. After all, the New Testament, especially Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, reveals his abilities when he was here on earth as a man amongst men. Now, if you want a little homework, what I've discovered already is that there are 11 mentions of the ability of Christ in New Testament Scripture. Now, there may be others. I'm not saying that up to the minute I've succeeded in gleaning them all, but there are 11 are there, and they're very, very well worth considering. Now, you remember that I began talking to you about one of them in the meeting last Lord's Day, where we were talking about the great ability of our Lord Jesus, and we saw that he was able to save any sinner. Now that's something that blesses my heart a great deal. I think it was F.B. Meyer who wrote this, that any man who has a true vision of the cross and the work of Christ and the precious blood that was shed yonder at Calvary can never again speak about hopeless cases. There aren't any such things as hopeless cases. There is hope for any sinner as long as he or she will repent, believe the gospel, and turn to Christ alone for so great salvation. He's able to save any sinner. We pointed out to you in the meeting, it bears repeating, that he went to the cross and died to save us. Thank God for that. Amen. He went there and he bore our sin on his own body on the tree. What a price was that? And he rose again to guarantee that God has accepted what he did at the cross. And then he's gone back to heaven. He went to the cross to get us saved, and he went back to heaven in order to keep us saved. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that, of course, is the man Christ Jesus. And we reject utterly this nonsense of a mediatrix, as they talk about in Mary, a kind of co-redemptress who you need to go to her first and then from her to him. Nonsense. We go directly to our Lord Jesus Christ in confession. And we don't need the prayers of saints or angels or anything of the sort. I don't know whether the saints go on praying when they get to heaven or not. I never have ever read of it if they do. And I'm not so sure about the angels either. But we'll need to wait till we get there to find that all out. But at the minute, I would rather depend on something I know to be real. And that is the fact that the Savior intercedes for me. Now, able, yes, to save any sinner. Thank God for that great fact. But this morning I want to say something else to you. That he is able to bless and use any servant, any person that knows the Savior and has surrendered their life over to him in the service of the very best of masters. And no matter how weak we may feel, no matter how weak you and I may think we are as we seek to carry on our witness for the Lord, it's amazing how the Lord can take us and bless us and use us. I knew a dear old sister very well. Her name was Mrs. Gibson, and she's now gone to be with Christ a long, long time ago. But Mrs. Gibson was very faithful in the whole issue and matter of tract distribution and personal work. And she always attended on a regular basis the church that I was in there for about 25 years in Portadown, and she was very faithful and very loyal lady. However, she came to me one day and she said this to me. She said, you know, I've been carrying on this work. She always filled her handbag with tracts, and away she'd go uptown, and she'd just hand these out to people as she met them and talk a little to them and so on. But she told me, I have done this because I feel I need to do it, but I've never yet seen anybody saved. Never heard of anybody coming to the Lord. Well, I said, Mrs. Gibson, just keep it up, because the Lord has promised to honor his word, and he will most definitely do it. However, a few weeks later, I was in the middle of a gospel campaign in Armagh. Now, that's not an awful bit from Portadown, in Armagh. And there was a guy giving his testimony one night. And in the course of his testimony, he said that he had been in Portadown on a Saturday afternoon. And he had been approached by this little lady. And the two things he mentioned was this: with a handbag and a hat. I never forgot that, what he said. With a handbag and a hat, and she gave me this gospel tract, and he had it in his hand. And he said, I took it home, and I read it, and he said, I've got wonderfully saved through reading that tract. Now, I'm nearly scared to say this, but I think I'm right, and I hope I'm right, that his wife got saved as well. So I heard this. So I thought, boy, now's my opportunity to give Mrs. Gibson a wee bit of encouragement. So I invited him to come and give his testimony in the church. Never said anything at all to her, but was dreading that she might not be able to come because she didn't enjoy great health. And but that particular night, I said to her son-in-law, I said, you make sure she's here. And he did. She was there in the meeting that night. Well, I will never forget that. Never will I. Because whenever he got up and told his story, I was sitting behind him in the pulpit and I was watching her, and the tears were in her eyes. And after the meeting was over, boy, she said, you did that deliberately tonight. I said, I certainly did. Now, I said, when I never heard that testimony until the mission. But when I heard it, I said, I'm bringing it down to let you hear it, to let you see that the Lord is blessing his word. It's your job to sow the seed and leave the rest to him. And it's only when we get home to glory that we'll finally discover the way the Lord has blessed his witness. So I want you to think about this just a little with me in the meeting this morning from the 21st verse of the chapter that we have read together. Now, there are many things in this verse. However, the very introductory fact is something that I just want to mention and pass on. If a man or a woman, as the case may be, now remember, the word if implies if not. If a man or a woman purge themselves from these. Now I want you to watch that. This is not something that God will do. This is something you've got to do yourself. Now, what is the these? Well, I'll not go into it this morning, but if you go back up the chapter and look, you'll find a lot of things are mentioned there that are great hindrances in the service of Christ. Things that would hold you back, like a ball and chain around your leg, and you're dragging all the time. Now, you need to purge yourself from it. I remember a guy one time getting saved in a mission I had away in the early days. He's now in Australia. And he had this kind of personal tickle. He loved to dance. And he said to me one day, he said, Harvey, I don't feel that I should give up the dancing. He says, I can go down to the dance hall and I can pick a girl and I can witness to her whenever I'm dancing. Now, I don't know a big lot about dancing. I went once, and this girl said to me, would you like to come for a dance? I said, I would. Well, she wore 3.5 and I wore a 12, and I tramped on her 2. And she said, away and sit down, and that was it. That was it. No more dancing for me. That was my one and only event. But he came to me one Sunday morning, this guy, and he was in a bit of a spiritual mess, I can tell you. And I said, Robert, what on earth is wrong with you now? He said, I went to that dance last night. And he said, I picked up this girl, and we were dancing around, and I started to tell her about the Lord. And she looked at me and she said, are you a Christian? He says, I am. He said, what are you doing here? Just like that. Now that ended the issue. That was what he needed to hear. He never, ever went back. And you, another old guy who got wonderfully saved, and it was only a few days before the 12th of July, and he was terribly thirsty, and he had always drunk, and he thought nothing about going into the pub maybe and getting something to drink. And it didn't really bother him a great deal because he was only a short time a believer. And he says, I'll go in and I'll get a glass of orange. So he went into the pub and he had this faith mission badge up on his coat here. And he went forward to the bar and he asked the bartender for a glass of orange. And the bartender got him a glass of orange, set it down,
And then he got him by the coat. And he looked, he says, "What's your badge?" Well, Hugh said, "That's the Faith Mission badge. And what does it say on it?" "Seek first the kingdom." "Huh," he said, "this is a good place to start. In the pub." Well, he never drank the orange. He let it sit and he walked out. And he never went into the pub again. Now, I'm just giving you those two examples of people that I knew. And those were two men that God used. But before they could be used, there was need for this purification. Had to happen. And they needed to do it themselves. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, if there's anything in my life that is hindering me, then I need to deal with it. Or if there's anything in your life that's hindering you, you need to deal with it. And if we do, then the rest of the verse becomes applicable. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these. If I could illustrate it to you like this and then move on. There's a glass of water. And if you were going into a kitchen today and you were thirsty and you wanted a drink, and there were two glasses sitting, and there was a clean one and a dirty one, which one would you lift? Now, I think common sense would tell you, you lift the clean one. And if God wants a vessel that he can use, he will not use a vessel that's going to bring dishonor and shame to his name. That's not going to happen. There needs to be this purification in every single believer's life. Do you know, over the years, friend, I was thinking about this just yesterday, in missions, and more so maybe today than in the past, I have been dealing with a lot of people who you might call backsliders, you see. And I've always noticed this, that every single person I have dealt with, the backsliding can all be traced back to an unconfessed sin, beyond a doubt. Every time, some particular issue has got a grip and they have failed to obey this verse, to purify themselves from it, and because of it, it has taken them away from the Lord. How careful we need to be. I could go on and on relating incidents to you, but I won't take that any further. That's purification. Now, notice this in the rest of the verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be. Now this is right at the doorstep of every one of us. He or she shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. So purification moves to sanctification. Set apart is the idea. If a man therefore, read it again, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. I wonder how we face up to that one this morning. I'm standing before the mirror of that just now, and I'm looking into it, and I'm saying to myself, am I in a position where God could call me a vessel unto honor? And this sanctified, this is what you call personal sanctification. Now, I know the days we're living in, and especially in this land of ours, there has been all sorts of debates and all sorts of confusion and all sorts of arguments about sanctification. There are those who will tell you that this sanctification is some kind of a second blessing that you can get, you see. And if you get this particular blessing of sanctification, then there's the possibility that you might never sin again. You see, I've met people like this from time to time. Met a man one time, and he told me that he hadn't sinned in 2 weeks. Well, I said, "Brother, you've just broke it." He said, "What do you mean?" Well, I said, "You've just sinned, for that's as big a lie as ever you told, that you hadn't sinned in 2 weeks." You see, and you've got to be blunt and honest with people. But this, in this New Testament, friends, there are seven senses of sanctification. Seven of them. And it's the biggest confusion evermore if you don't see that. I remember a dear lady saying to me one time, she was very adamant. She was, God bless her, a really adamant faith mission lady. And they are very strong on this, you see. And she was telling me that every believer needs this second blessing. I said, they do. And I said, is that what sanctification means? Oh, yes. I said, wait a minute. I have a question for you. I said, let's go to John 17 for a minute, where you find the Lord Jesus Christ engaged in prayer. You see? And I said, listen now, here's what he prayed. For this cause, I sanctify myself. I said, did Christ need the second blessing? I said, he said that. For this cause, I sanctify myself. Did he need a second? Oh, she said, I wouldn't say that. Well, I said, that's exactly what you're saying, if that's what it is. And she'd never seen that. What does that mean? For this cause, I sanctify myself. He was setting himself apart to go to the cross, to suffer and to bleed and to die. And the cause was your salvation and mine, and your redemption and mine, and your forgiveness and mine, and your peace and pardon and mine. And he was setting himself apart. And even before he went into the darkness of Calvary, he set himself apart from his very mother. You remember that? He said to John, woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy... By the way, that term woman there is not a very good rendering of the word in the original. It ought to be my lady. My lady. The Lord was not referring to Mary as a mere woman and as such. Something ordinary. Mary was just an ordinary woman, but she was extraordinary in the fact that she was a vessel unto honor. Because had she never said, this is the idea, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. And if I took time this morning to show you what that cost her, it was amazing. Because according to the law, she should have been stoned to death. What's Joseph going to think when she tells him this story had occurred in her life regarding the angel coming and so on? Would she become the vessel through whom Christ would come to the world? And that's exactly what is needed today. God is looking for Marys, if you like, whether they be men or women, who will sanctify themselves to bring Christ to the world and will pay the price no matter what, and God will see them through to victory. What about this personal sanctification, friends? As I look into that mirror just now, you see, I believe this, friends, and I've preached this for years. If something doesn't hit the preacher's heart first, he might as well sit down and shut up. I believe that with all my heart. It's never going to go anywhere. It's got to go here first and then out to you who sit today in the congregation. And as I'm looking there, I'm thinking, would there be anything there that would hinder God using me? And that's something I personally have got to answer before the Lord, and every one of us need to do exactly the same, to make sure that our lives are set apart. Now, when you come to the question of the sanctification of you and I, just to show you what this is all about, or try to show you a little of what it's about, the word sanctification, pardon me, friends, it means to set apart by something, through something, for something. Now, let me repeat that. To set apart by something, through something, for something. Now, if you want to apply that to yourself, you were set apart by God way in eternity. Now, I'm not an adamant arguer about sanctification or the whole business of election. I'm not going to fight or argue about that. I let God be God on that issue. I have read, I'm sure, 20 books explaining it. I only ended up muddled. You know, nobody can explain that. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, I could take time and try to tell you what I think that means. Because I don't believe God made an election for hell. Now, if he made an election for heaven, he must have made an election for hell. No way around that. I don't believe that for a minute. But time doesn't allow me to go into that today. I remember a man coming to me one time after the burial of a child. The child was born dead. And I did the funeral of this child for the parents. And after the funeral was over, I'd been comforting the parents and telling them that the child up to the age of responsibility was covered by the blood of Christ. It was definitely in heaven. And he took me aside after that and was very cross and angry. He said, "You shouldn't have said that." I said, "Why?" Because he said, "How do you know that that child is one of the elect?" I said, "Listen, friend, what sort of a God have you that would send a baby to hell? Maybe you hear such nonsense in your life. But let's come back to ourselves for a minute." And we're on to something I had no intention of going near this morning, but that's the way it is. To set apart by something, I was set apart by God in eternity. Through something, through the work of the cross. For something, to be a vessel unto honour. Sanctified and meet for the Master's use. That's what it's about. Now friends, look into that sanctification and come on this verse, because I've only a few minutes left this morning. You've got purification, sanctification, and you move on to another great thought. And meet for the Master's use. That's exhibition. You become an exhibit of a person that God can use. Isn't that remarkable? An exhibit of a person that God can use. I walked out of a doctor's surgery one day in Lurgan. And I bumped into a guy that I hadn't seen for a considerable period of time. We had been very good friends. But he had moved away from the area. And because he had moved away from the area, I kind of lost contact with him for a while. And coming out of the doctor's, "Oh," he said, "good to see you. Come on and let's have a coffee together." And I said, "No, I will not. I'll have a cup of tea, but I'm not going to drink that stuff. I've never learned to drink it and I still can't drink it, and that's the way it is." But we did go for a cup of tea together. And then he said to me, he said, "Harvey, I want to ask you something." Well, I said, "Before you ask me, do you want a straight, down-the-line, honest answer?" He says, "I do." Because he's a boy who would have dodged issues. Okay. He said, "I've got a brother. And my brother and I set up in business at the same time. In the very same business. And he has worked at it, and I have worked at it. He has gone somewhere. I have gone nowhere. I have worked as hard as him, yet at the same time, I don't seem to make progress and he seems to make nothing else. Why?" Very hard not to hurt a guy, isn't it? When you're asked a question like that. And yet to give him a true answer, I was going to have to hurt him. His name was Johnson. I said, "Johnson, you wanted me to give you a true answer to that." He says, "I do." "Well," it says, "I've known you guys since you were lads." I said, "I know you pretty well." And I said, "I have no problem telling you what the difficulty is." "Well," he says, "I want to know." "Well," I says, "your brother is a steady, level-headed guy. You see, and if God prospers him, God knows that it will be done honorably. And there'll be no disrepute brought to his name, and he'll handle the whole thing wisely." But I said, "Listen, look at me straight in the eye and tell me if I'm wrong. If the Lord prospered you in business and financially," I says, "you would follow the sun." I said, "you'd just waste it." And he looked at me and he said, "You know,
I thank you for your honesty. But he says, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now, there were two brothers, like a Cain and Abel situation, you know, where the one was outstanding for God and the other was outstanding in folly. That's how it worked. And that's very sad. Meat for the master's use. Meat for it. A person that God can take up and use. You know, friends, that's available to every one of us. Wherever you are, whoever you are. And sometimes people will say to me, ah, I'm far too old. You know, age doesn't matter to God. It doesn't. And I remember, again, I'm watching this old enemy up in the wall here. I remember a dear lady saying to me one time years ago, I'd noticed this, that while Alice was a very active woman in the service of God, she was beginning to step back a bit. That was bothering me a little. You see? And I said to her, Alice, why are you doing this? What's your reason for stepping back the way you're doing? Well, she says, Harvey, I didn't think it was that obvious. I says, it is. I can see it. And I'm sure the people in the fellowship here can see it. I said, why are you doing that? Well, she said, I've been very active for the Lord and his work all my life. And she says, I felt it was time that I just step back and maybe let others come forward a little bit. I said, Alice, if I could show you from the scriptures that you're wrong, would you consider the issue? Well, she says, I'll have to if you show me from the scriptures. Now, I can't tell you the exactness here. Maybe somebody in the meeting can help me. But if you go home, take down your Bible and look at the age of Moses and Aaron when God used them to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were both in their middle 80s, the two of them. That was their age. I don't think there's too many here this morning who have reached that yet, you know. So there's still a job to do. Meet for the master's use. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. One final thing I'll mention. There's a preparation. Now, we've had a purification, sanctification, preparation. Sorry. We've had an exhibition, and now we come to a preparation at the end of the verse. And prepared unto every good work. You see, brethren and sisters, you don't work to get to heaven, but you work because you're going. Now, maybe some other time I'll take time to show you what them preparation unto every good work means. I need to go into the Ephesian epistle this morning to look at that. But I trust that when we see the great ability of Christ in choosing us and saving us, blessing us, sanctifying us, setting us apart to be God's for eternity, that we'll give the rest of our lives into his hand to be used in the service of the Master. Let's bow together. We ask again, our Father, that thou wilt take what has been of thyself, yes, and bury it deeply within our hearts, and anything that has been of man, may it be both forgiven and forgotten. Amen. Bless this fellowship. May it go on from strength to strength, thy dear people with it, and become a real beacon, a lighthouse, in a very dark area for the glory of thy great name. Lord, remember the needs of our lives today, and just now part us with thy blessing and bring us home in safety. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.